You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am rejoined by my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
So we're going to talk about what not to say to a listing agent as a buyer.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things you may want to say to an agent, but these are the things not to say.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, I think that when you're in the home buying process, you really have to understand the relationships with each of the parties. And Missouri is different than a lot of states when it comes to this.
I wouldn't know because I haven't been to other states to buy a house. So I guess I'll take your word on that one. I think what gets confusing is, you know, I guess back when I was younger, God, I sound old, you would go into a real estate agent's office and you'd sit down with them and they'd go help you find properties. And there's not much thought about it as far as who I'm going to be working with. But today it's a little separated now. It's a little more separated. There's listing agents and buyer's agents.
Yeah. So the listing agent, who is also called the seller's agent. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have to make sure we understand these terms correctly, because you have the listing agent is the seller's agent.
Right.
And then the buyer's agent is called the selling agent.
Okay.
And that confuses a lot of people, because when somebody says the selling agent, you know, a lot of times people will think that's the listing agent. That's actually the buyer's agent. So when you think about the relationships, there's a fiduciary responsibility for the listing agent to represent the seller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it means they have a legal obligation to represent the seller first. Mm-hmm. So very important distinction, because whatever information they get from you as a buyer, they're legally obligated to tell the seller, and they're legally obligated to use it to the seller's best interest.
Right. So basically, in layman's terms, as a buyer, I really need a buyer's agent.
Yes, that's really kind of the bottom line on this, is that there is absolutely no reason why not to have your own agent, mm-hmm, as a buyer, because it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
And we'll actually come back to that at the end of the segment, and we'll talk about how the agent commission splits work. So now we've kind of prefaced this by saying the listing agent, if you are a buyer, the listing agent on property you're going to go look at does not represent you, or at least they shouldn't represent you.
Right. So here's another thing to throw in this. So let's say you're going to an open house. You've used home scouting to find this house. And
which is now Home Scout.
Home Scout, right. So you go in and you view the property, but you haven't decided on an agent, but there's one standing there. So the things you may or may not know, you don't know if that particular agent is the listing agent, or
correct,
if they're setting in for somebody. And that, how would you advise on that, Doug, to figure that out?
Ask them.
Just ask.
Yeah, I mean, the sign out in the front yard will tell who the listing agent is, mm-hmm, typically. So you can see who that agent is. And rarely is the listing agent the one that actually holds the house open. Sometimes they are,
mm-hmm,
but you definitely need to ask that question. And I don't think I would use, frequently a listing agent may have a big team and they have a bunch of buyer's agents. I don't know that I normally would advise even using a buyer's agent on the listing agent's team. I still don't feel like that's enough separation.
That would be enough separation. Well, at any rate, we have a whole bunch of buyer's agents that we could connect you to. And so if you want to reach out and contact Doug, we can figure that out for you.
Well, and that's definitely something we help a lot of people do, mm-hmm, because I'm a licensed lender. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a licensed loan originator. I'm not a licensed realtor. Okay. I've been a licensed realtor before, but I'm not a licensed realtor. So I don't make any money. I don't make any commissions from who you use as a realtor. I don't have any vested interest in it. However, what I do have vested interest in is screening through agents to figure out who are the ones that actually have a good heart for what they do, and who are the ones that are going to represent their clients the best. So I match up a lot of buyers and a lot of sellers with the right agent. So if you want that matchup, reach out to me, text me or call me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684 are the numbers for it.
All right, Tim, let's get into this.
Yeah, let's get into this.
Okay.
The listing agent no-nos, what are the things that we should not say to the listing agent when you're a buyer.
All right. So this one is how much you're willing to spend. Seems like a no-brainer, but when you go in and you say, well, I'm willing to spend $100,000 for this house, it can send a lot of messages to the selling agent.
Yeah, because is your first offer your final offer?
Right.
Okay, and these days when it's a competitive market and lots of people are giving bids that are at asking price or above, we're actually seeing more contracts that, where there's no negotiation than we've ever seen, okay, where people are coming in at their best offer because they know they're already competed against other people. But in many situations, that's not happening, and there's negotiations that go back and forth between a buyer and seller. And if the seller has an idea or the listing agent has an idea of what you're willing to spend on that property, and it's more than what that offer is, they're going to use it against you.
They will, because you got to keep in mind your two main goals is to get your offer accepted and get it accepted at the lowest possible price. So you got to play the game a little bit, keep your aces in your pocket.
Yeah. So what, and here's an easy way that this ends up coming out is the pre-approval letter.
Yes. Okay,
so let's say I pre-approve you as a buyer for $300,000, and that's what I have on your pre-approval letter. But you decide you don't want to buy a $300,000 property. You want to buy something for $225,000, and that's all you really want to spend. And when you submit an offer, there's a pre-approval attached for $300,000. Okay, there's two different scenarios that can happen there. One is, okay, they know that you can afford more, you just don't want to, or they know you can afford more and they think they need to get you to pay more because they know that you're approved for $300,000, but you're only paying $225,000 for their property.
And this is why a buyer's agent is very helpful, because they do the talking behind the scenes and can communicate, yes, they're approved for that, but their budget is whatever. Like, they can communicate though in a language that agents can speak to one another.
Yes.
You know, and that's again, still keeping your ace, even though the approval letter, and Doug, you've rewritten approval letters for people if it gets down close to negotiating.
Yeah. So what we do is I'll send my pre-approval letter in two formats. I'll send it, so that $300,000 pre-approval as an example, I'll send it as a PDF, but also go ahead and send the Word document with the permission that the agent can go ahead and lower the pre-approval amount. They just can't raise it. Okay, so because it may be 8 o'clock at night when they're submitting the offer, and I may not be available at that minute to rewrite it. So I go ahead and give them the Word document so they can go ahead and lower it from $300,000 down to the $225,000 you may be offering.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think it's a good way to handle it so that you can get the best of both worlds with it. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about what not to say to a listing agent when you are the buyer. So second thing not to say, Tammy,
is how much you like the property. So you just are oohing and aahing over everything. And so that sends a little subliminal message to the agent that, we've got them. So the other thing, a flip side to this, is you don't want to trash talk the property either, because if you did submit an offer, they may be offended. That gets translated back eventually. So there's both sides to this coin here.
Yeah, there is. And I think depending on the market, because this advice can change, you know, between now and at some point in the future, because how much you like the property, we're encouraging you to write an offer letter when you submit it for the property. And I think it's okay to do something in the offer letter to make a common connection. I think that an offer letter is a great way to get an offer accepted. And last week's show, we actually covered offer letters and put three different offer letter templates on our website. And actually had some clients just this week that got their offer accepted specifically because they wrote an offer letter.
Which is that's really great news to hear. And so I guess the point of this particular thing is that you don't want in that initial thing to really give the idea of that there's no room to wiggle and all of that kind of stuff. So
yeah, if none of this will matter that much if there's no negotiations on the property.
True.
If you're trying to negotiate at all on the property, and they know how much you like it, they may know that you're going to come up on this property on price.
Yeah, it's just remaining cool. That's what right. it comes down to.
Well, yeah, just not, you know, you have to have a little bit of a poker face and not literally, because most of this doesn't go face to face.
Right.
But you don't want the listing agent to know how much you like the property. Your buyer's agent absolutely should know how much you like the property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's the one that represents you as the buyer. So definitely make sure to talk to them.
You need to have a good buyer's agent in your corner, and you need to trust them. Mm-hmm. So the third thing you don't want to say to a listing agent when you're a buyer is anything. You basically want to let your agent do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very important. Is the way the system's set up is you talk to your buyer's agent, they write up an offer, they send it to the listing agent presents it to the seller. You don't need to be talking to them directly if you can avoid it.
And it doesn't mean that you're not social or happy or pleasant, not at all. But it really is important to have that buyer's agent really understand who you are, what your goals are, and that's really about developing that relationship with the one that can represent you. So that's what we have to say.
All right. So I mentioned earlier in the segment about the commission splits for agents. I want to make sure that I go ahead and throw this out there. So typically, here's how the commission splits work. Usually there's 6% as real estate agent commission that's built into a transaction, and that's paid by the seller. It's not paid by you as a buyer. It's paid by the seller. And typically that 6% is split up where the listing agent gets 3.3%, buyer's agent gets 2.7%. Why the difference, a lot of people would ask. The difference is the listing agent has some advertising costs, and that's why they get a little bit bigger percentage of the commission. And your buyer's agent doesn't cost you anything as a buyer. It's paid by the seller, and that's why you want to make sure that you are represented. And the same is true if you're for builders. Okay, if you walk into a display home, I do not encourage you to walk into a display home and use the agent that's manning the display. Okay, because they work for the builder. You need to have your own representation in that situation. Sometimes people will tell you, okay, we'll give you a better deal if you don't use your own agent. Okay, but that's just not true in most cases. I don't believe it. You need somebody working in your corner. If you want to be able to have an introduction to an agent to work in your corner, reach out to me anytime at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, D-O-U-G. You also can see the recap of this on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. Visit the blog post on there and be sure and download this podcast too. Our podcasts are getting thousands of weekly downloads now. All right, so do you ever wonder exactly what lenders want to see when they're reviewing a loan? Well, coming up, we're going to be covering the four C's of underwriting. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.